Well, our scripture reading for today comes from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 33 through 35. It's a part of what is known as the Great Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches great lessons about living life in alignment with how God created us to live. And in these few short verses, Jesus is teaching about vows and oaths and what we say yes to and what we say no to. Listen now to these words from Jesus. You have also heard that people were told in the past, do not break your promise, but do what you have vowed to the Lord to do. But now I tell you, do not use any vow when you make a promise. Do not swear by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it's the resting place for his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not even swear by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black. Just say yes or no. Anything else you say comes from the evil one. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask for your spirit to speak to us through these words and for you to guide us in our everyday lives that we might live in alignment with how you created us. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, in chapter 1 of Genesis, we all know God created the heavens and the earth, and all was good. But by the time you get to chapter 3, it all starts to unravel and go south. The first humans, Adam and Eve, disobey God and go their own way. And by the time you get to chapter 4, Adam and Eve's two boys, Cain and Abel, get into a little tiff, and Cain kills Abel. The first human family was also the first dysfunctional family, and so it goes, even to this day. A good friend of mine who happens to be a Jewish rabbi once said to me, "You know, Mark, I'd love being a rabbi if I didn't have to deal with all these people." And I said, "Danny, I have no idea what you're talking about." Well, the reality of living in a broken world is that we're all a little broken. And where that shows up most is in our relationships, be it at home or at work or in our neighborhoods or at school or even at church. There are relational issues that we have to navigate. And when dealing with relationships, one of the most important lessons we can learn revolves around our ability to set and maintain healthy boundaries. And when it comes to developing healthy boundaries, there are two words that we need to get really comfortable with, and that is the word yes and the word no. Saying yes tells people whether you're in or out, yes or no, in and out. Saying yes is kind of like a door that we either open or shut. Saying yes or no guides where we're going to go and where we're going to refuse to step. But oftentimes we have problems with these two little words, and so I want to get you thinking about where you may be saying yes, where you should really be saying no, or where you may be saying no when you should really be saying yes. And sometimes we have problems saying the right one at the right time in the right way. Often we just give in to whatever pressures we're feeling at the moment, even if it goes against what we believe or value, and then we have to live with it. We often take the course of least resistance. Well, in our scripture reading for today, Jesus is saying that these two words are extremely important. Jesus says that generally in our conversations, you should simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. He says anything beyond that comes from the evil one. These words from Jesus are a part of his great Sermon on the Mount, and in these three short verses, he teaches about vows and promises and how these words, when used appropriately, can help us develop boundaries that bring balance to our everyday lives and our relationship. Jesus himself was a great master of gatekeeping by using these two words. He walked through his life saying yes to that which he needed to say yes to. He knew when to say yes, even when it was costly. He said yes to becoming a human being like one of us, and he said yes to a ministry of teaching and healing. He said yes to washing his friend's feet and living as a servant. He said yes to touching a leper. He said yes to compassion and entering into someone else's suffering. And at the climax of his earthly life, when he was in the garden and God was calling him to the cross, he said, "Father, even though I don't want to do this, though I wish this cup of suffering would pass from me, not my will, but yours." His whole earthly life was about saying yes to God the Father. Yet Jesus also knew when to say no. He said no to temptation. Like when the evil one came to him and said, "Just turn these stones into bread." Or when the evil one says, "Just fall down and worship me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth." Jesus said, "No, I don't really need to think about it. No." And when his friends came up with this misguided request, "Jesus, let us sit next to you, one on the right and one on your left, through all of eternity so we can have two of the most important human beings in heaven," Jesus said, "No. Even though you're my friends, I say no." Many of his followers wanted him to take on the role of an earthly king and to use his power to vanquish their enemies, and they pressured him to do just that, and Jesus said what? No. He didn't say, "Well, let me get back to you," or "Let me think about it." He was very clear. He said, "No." Jesus knew that his disciples had an ulterior motive. If he became king, they'd have a job in his administration, and Jesus said, no. Well, in Matthew 16, when Jesus is telling his disciples about what is to come, his suffering and his death, Peter pulls Jesus aside and says, "No, we're not going to allow that to happen, Jesus." And Jesus responds to Peter by saying, "Get away from me, Satan." In other words, Jesus was saying yes to God's plan, as excruciating and painful as it was, and no to Peter for suggesting that Jesus take the easy way out. Because you see, Jesus had this clarity about his identity and about his heart and about his calling and about his mission. His yes was yes and his no was no. And because of that, he lived with a great freedom and great purpose. And he said, in effect, you ought to live that way too. Walk through life with a clear understanding of who God made you to be, and let your yes be yes and no be no. A few years ago, psychologist Dr. Henry Cloud wrote about saying yes and no in his book on developing and maintaining personal boundaries. He writes that a boundary is kind of like a personal property line that marks me off as an individual. I have my own gifts and my own passions and my own identity, my own responsibility. A clear sense of boundary means I understand what I'm responsible for, and I also understand there's some things I'm not responsible for. Dr. Cloud, who happens to be a follower of Jesus, writes that our main job in life comes down to living in a way that pleases God. Not everybody on your contact list, or not all your friends on Facebook. So when you say yes and when you say no, it really is a spiritual decision that is between you and God. Your life does not belong to your boss or your parents or your in-laws or your friends, or your peers, or your neighbor, or even your spouse. They're all important, but you cannot abdicate the responsibility for your life to them. And it really comes down to you and God. And if you don't have a real clear sense of who God made you to be and what God is calling you to do, you often end up overcommitted, exhausted, resentful, feeling guilty because you probably disappointed somebody. Now, one of the things I often see from people who have a rather shallow understanding of what Jesus actually taught, they somehow come to the conclusion that Christianity is all about being nice and pleasing everybody. They somehow think that Jesus is like this complete and total people pleaser, that Jesus had this kind of milquetoast personality that never challenged people or made them uncomfortable. They obviously have not read the Gospels very carefully. They forget about the times where Jesus confronted the Pharisees and the time where he tipped over the tables in the temple. Jesus was not in the business of telling people what they wanted to hear, and quite often it was the exact opposite. But Jesus knew when to say yes and when to say no. He knew the mission that his Father had given him, and he did not let public opinion sway him. Now, you can go through life exhausted and frustrated, trying to make everybody happy, saying yes when you should really be saying no. Or you can get clarity on who God made you to be and what God is calling you to do, and then follow through on what Jesus instructed his followers to say. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. A number of years ago, I went to a pastor's conference out in California where John Ortberg, who's the pastor of Menlo Park Presbyterian Church, led this breakout session on boundaries for pastors. And he said that clergy have, in general, a very high need for being liked, and therefore they have a real problem saying no. And then he went back to talk about the need that we have to have gates in our lives. Gates that swing open to let people in, but at the same time, gates that close to protect us and to protect the church and to keep it safe. And he said, we need to get really good at saying yes and saying no, or we end up being like a country without borders. And no, he didn't say anything about building a wall, just a gate. Political humor. I probably should have scratched that one, don't you think? Well, as I was thinking about this past week, about boundaries, I thought of several examples that I've had to deal with, first as a parent. And one of the most important roles of parenthood is setting boundaries for your children, knowing when to say yes and when to say no. It's kind of what God created parents to do, you know? Well, Laura, my daughter, generally was a very easy child to raise, and I give thanks to God for that. But she had a weakness for two specific things: chocolate milk and ice cream, just like her dad. Well, one night, I brought home some chocolate milk, and she drank it at the end of supper, and it was a big glass, and she just gulped it down, and she asked for another glass. And I used one of those words that Jesus said we should use. I said, no. And then, I'm not kidding, she, and, you know, when you see her next time, don't tell her I told the story, but she got down on the floor, literally on her stomach, just laid out, and screamed and beat her fist and kicked her legs and said, I want more chocolate milk. I just kind of looked at her, no. I want more chocolate milk. No. I mean, this went on like for 15 minutes. And then she said, if you don't give me any more chocolate milk, you will not be my friend anymore. Okay. And then she said, if you don't give me chocolate milk, I won't like you anymore. And I said, child, stand in line. Two of the most important words of parenting, yes and no. And helping your children learn them is an important part of teaching boundaries. Second example is from the world of church. As some of you may know, my first time as a lead pastor was in this small restart church where my charge was to either turn the congregation around or close the doors. There were just a handful of people in this congregation when I started, and we were kind of needy, and we really needed to build up our membership quite quickly or we'd close the doors. So one weekend, in walk this very well-dressed couple who kind of happened to notice they pulled into the church parking lot in a very high-end BMW. And on Tuesday, I take Mondays off. Tuesday, I came in the office, and our finance person said, you know that couple that came? They dropped a $500 check in the offering plate. Like, that's a pretty good thing. Well, this couple got involved, and they were contributing about $20,000 a year, and that was back in 1992, and we were in a real need for giving, and this was a good thing. And as I got to know them, I went out to their house. They lived in this huge home on a lake nearby our church, where I know the prices at that time started about $1.5 million and went up from there. And we kind of became friends, and I thought we were kind of good friends, which is kind of tricky for a pastor because you've got to continually ask, what's your primary role, being their pastor, being their friend? You know, it's kind of a boundary issue you got to navigate. And then, to add to the complexity of this, you know, I love water, I love boats. They had two beautiful ski boats on their lake. And they invited me out, and then they, after we'd spent some time on the lake, they said, the keys are here. That's where you go get gas. Anytime, Mark, anytime you want to use the boats, just come out and you can use the boats. That was pretty cool. I mean, buzzing around Orchard Lake in a snazzy ski boat. I was single back then, and boats were kind of a chick magnet. And I'm like, this is good. This is good. But then I started getting calls from people who were either new to the church or longtime members, got calls, and they said they were getting calls to invite, they were being invited to this couple's home where they were pressured into selling Amway. Any of you know what Amway is? Okay, I hate to ask this question. Any of you sell Amway? Good. All right. Well, it appeared that they were using the church to kind of build their side business, which in my mind is kind of a pyramid scheme. So I brought this up at an elders meeting, and the decision was, we just can't allow this. I mean, yeah, they're very generous, and we certainly need this, but we can't allow this. We needed to say no. So I made an appointment with a couple, and I went to their home with one of our elders to find out, yeah, what's going on with this? Just kind of fill us in. And the couple were offended that we'd even ask, that we wouldn't allow this. They asked us to leave their house. And as you might guess, the $500 checks stopped showing up in the offering plate. No more ski boats for Mark. I could tell you a dozen other horror stories about churches and boundaries, like the male usher who was way too friendly in greeting female guests. I found this out my first Sunday in this church. Not this church, but I found this out on the first Sunday. And when I found out about it, I said, you're not going to be ushering anymore. I didn't have to think twice about it. Well, that didn't go over well with their friends who made me public enemy number one, and that's after your first Sunday in the church. They said, well, you know, that's just John. John's like that. And I go, John's no longer an usher, period, exclamation point, end of discussion. Didn't go over well, but was the right thing. You know, in just about every leadership position I know of, to be an effective leader, you need to be really good about using these two words that Jesus talked about. And in much the same way, the word yes is also an incredibly important word, especially in the church. Someone has an idea or even a calling or a prompting, and we want to be a church that says, yes, let's go for it. Let's see what God can do with this. So many things around here happen, like South Sudan mission trip. They come from somebody who feels a prompting and a calling, and they, you know, we as a church say, how can we flesh this out? How can we act on this? And it often takes a church in a new, exciting direction. Saying yes, even with its risks, even when we don't know where it's going to lead, is an important part of our faith. And I believe that's how the Holy Spirit often leads us. It starts with a whisper that we need to say yes to. Well, today as we receive communion, I want you to think about, meditate on these two words, about saying yes to God and God's forgiveness and God's grace, and saying no to the things that separate you from God. Saying yes to his calling in your life, and no to going out on your own and shutting God out. So I invite you to spend a few moments to meditate before we receive communion as Nick leads us in song.